This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Let's go!
Kia ora e ho mā, no mai, haere mai, ko Hana tōku ingoa, and you're listening to That's The Ticket. Now, today I'm pleased to be welcoming a pretty cool cat back to That's The Ticket. Longtime friend of the show, Yvonne from Right On For The Arts, is back to spill the tea on Hamilton Operatic Society's upcoming production of Andrew Lloyd Webber's classic Cats. Kia ora, mate. Welcome back.
Kia ora, bro. Thank you for having me.
All good. It's been a hot minute.
It has.
I've had you on this year, right? Was it the start?
18th of February.
Yeah, okay. It's about time we caught up.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. This is my 12th appearance.
12th appearance?
Yeah.
Oh, well done. A baker's dozen. Is that 12?
No, that's 13, because you make a spare one in the...
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's try and remember that gag for next time. We're off to a great start. 12 times.
Yeah.
I mean, the
you
show...
must be really stretched for guests.
I mean, no, I know you've got the inside scoop, because here's the thing, guys. I know you hear Yvonne talk and you're like, okay, she must be Grizabella and Cats. But Yvonne, I mean, you're doing quite a bit for the show, and so I feel like you're going to give me the most amount of tea.
Yeah, and there's one little tiny bit of tea, and I'm like umming and ahhing with myself as to whether or not I spill it tonight.
Okay.
So we'll see how we go.
You've got until the end of the show to spill that.
Yeah, 58 minutes or something.
But, I mean, let's go back, catch the musical. When, where, what, etc. So you're running at Clarence Street Theatre, right?
We are indeed. Yep.
And you're opening pretty soon, 26th of July?
Yep, Saturday 26th through to...
9th of August.
9th of August. And we've got 13 performances, including four matinees.
Four matinees?
Yep. And the Wednesday night performances are a bit earlier, 6:30 start.
Yeah, just visit... Ticketek or the Clarence Street Theatre website for more info on that.
Or our Facebook page or our website.
Yes.
When I say our, I mean Hamilton Operatic. I'm obviously here under that umbrella. Am I? I don't know which umbrella I'm under.
I mean, well, for now, let's do the Hamop umbrella, because you're, I mean, would your title in the show be, you're running the marketing for the show, right?
Yes, and I'm doing the copywriting for the program, and I've also put my hand up to be the program seller.
Oh, great. Okay, so you're really getting that full circle moment with this program. You make the program, you get rid of the program.
Not get rid of.
No, no.
Yeah, hand it over to appreciative people.
Well, this is the thing. After 12 appearances on That's The Ticket, if you've heard Yvonne on the show before, you know that she is a huge advocate for a well-made program and physical posters and programs, right?
Yes. Yeah. Don't you be coming at me with your QR codes and whatnot.
You sound like an old lady.
I know. I'm feeling like an old lady.
Is the year on the program? Panic.
Yes, it is. Yep,
that's
on the front cover.
Friend of That's The Ticket and of us, my dear mum, always puts the year on her show posters so that when you look back, you know.
Yeah, it's infuriating. Yeah, because I find the same thing. I've got a big trunk full of programs, and the ones that don't have the year on the front, and then you flick through it and you can't find anything, and give me the information up front.
You don't remember it? You don't remember every single show you've ever been to?
No. No, it's hundreds.
Hundreds?
Yeah.
How many times have you seen Cats?
I saw it in 80... Oh, was it about 87 when it came to New Zealand?
You're looking at me like I was alive in 1987.
Yeah. And then... Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't even know if you were here.
Nah.
No. And then obviously 2008, Hamilton Operatic, I was heavily involved in that season.
Yep.
And then recently I saw it in Sydney.
Yes, you did.
involved in this one.
Okay, great. We're getting up there. I hope you make it to double digits. Is Cats one of your faves? It is, eh? I know Mary Poppins is like top tier.
Yeah.
But Cats must be kind of
top five, and partly that's due to the experience I had last time around in 2008 with Hamop and the cast and the crew and everyone involved. It was spectacular.
Okay. Well, we're well on our way to round two. But before we get into that, I feel like we should talk a little bit about what Cats is. Because you and I are very familiar with Cats, very familiar with the show. But I realise that to listeners, they might just be like, what Cats are we talking about? Is it a cat show? Are there live cats? What's happening? Yvonne's got lots of rustly paper.
Yeah, I wish there were live cats, but you know what they say, never work with kids or animals, so.
Yeah, instead we put, I was going to say something about we put adults into animal costumes, but anywho, I just want to off the bat, fun fact about Cats is it's by the goat Andrew Lloyd Webber.
No, it's not. It's actually it is, but it's by T.S. Eliot's.
That's where I was getting to.
Oh, right, you were going around the other way.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's based off T.S. Eliot's poetry. Old Possum's
book of practical cats.
Do you own the book?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that feels on brand for you to own.
And then obviously Andrew Lloyd Webber took it and created a show out of it, which just became a massive success in the West End and on Broadway and then ultimately globally.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm going to touch on this, but like never forget, was it the 2019-2018 recent film adaptation of Cats that we don't talk about?
Yeah, we're not talking about that. That was creepy and weird.
But when I was growing up, we had, it was like a DVD set and it had three DVDs and it was like Andrew Lloyd Webber, so it had Joseph, Cats and Jesus Christ Superstar, and we used to watch Cats. Well, I mean, used to watch the other ones too, but I have fond memories, I'm pretty sure, and Uncle Rick, you might remember, of watching Cats at my granny's house with Missy.
Oh, yeah. That sounds about right. How awesome.
It was, but it's essentially, yeah, it's adapted from the T.S. Eliot poems, and it's kind of, I want to say, a look behind the scenes of Cats kind of coming to life.
Yeah, and so essentially, very loosely, once a year all the cats get together and the head of the whole tribe of cats, he each year chooses one cat to ascend to the Heaviside Layer. And so everyone's kind of like, that's a really cool thing to do. So all the cats like vying for it, like, pick me, I'm a really good candidate. And then ultimately he selects Grisabella, who sings Memory, and off she sails up to the Heaviside Layer.
Similarly, because before we went on air today, I was talking about another Andrew Lloyd Webber show, Sunset Boulevard, and how whenever anyone says Sunset Boulevard, I feel compelled to sing Sunset Boulevard. Whenever someone talks about Memory from Cats.
Oh, are you about to sing for us?
Well, no, I always just feel like doing a like, Memory, all alone in the moonlight. No one asked.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I've done too much singing in front of you today, Yvonne.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like it's good that you brought up Memory, because I feel like even if you don't know Cats, you might know that song.
Oh,
because it's very popular.
Yeah.
A lot of people have covered that.
Yeah, they have. It's pretty iconic.
Yeah. It's quite hard to sing as well, I would say. Is it? I don't know.
Personally, I find it difficult until after I've been at a rehearsal. And then when I drive home, I think I sound spectacular.
I bet you do.
Oh, dear.
It's a big thing, though.
It's a massive song.
Who's our Grisabella?
Julia Booth.
Oh, I'm like friend of the show. Yes, I have had Julia on, actually. Okay. I have complete faith in her nailing Memories.
Yeah. And so you should.
Have you heard it?
Yes. And then last Sunday night when I was sitting rehearsal, Oh my goodness, I was bawling my eyes out. It was so beautiful. And then I was still bawling about 15 minutes later, all through the rest of the end of the show, all the bows, everyone else is still laughing. I was just beside myself.
I mean, we love a good weep at rehearsal, don't we?
Yeah, and then the other night I had to video something at rehearsal, and I was just like, right, I've got to video her, but I'm not even actually going to look at her. I'm going to concentrate really hard on making sure I've framed the shot correctly.
Okay.
And that saved me from the tears, otherwise it would have been a wreck again.
I mean, how are we going to get through?
I don't know. It's it's exquisite.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, is, like, I feel like often everyone kind of puts musical theatre in this, like, it's fun, it's happy, you know, you get up dancing. And, like, that is a great thing about musical theatre, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love Mamma Mia and I will die on that hill. but, like, it's always nice with musicals like Cats where you get a bit of both. Because, like, yes, we've got this, like, intense ballad that is memory and that is very moving, but then there's light and dark in this show, right?
Yes, there is, yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I'm going to give it a crack. Do you know if there's an age rating for Cat?
No, I don't think there is.
I mean, I'm just purely based off me watching it from a very young age, so...
Oh, but, are you traumatised? Do you need to talk this through? Is there something you need to share with us, Hannah?
No, there's other shows that I probably saw when I shouldn't have. I'm pretty sure I watched Moulin Rouge when I was 8.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But then again, like, generally speaking, it's sort of all of that stuff. Pretty much goes over your head.
Yeah, but it's quite sad at the end.
Oh, yeah. It's so sad at the end. Another one I bawled my eyes out.
Oh, but, yeah, okay, we need this is a theme. A theme. But, yeah, so if you want to find out more about Cats, the Hamilton Operatic Society Facebook page and website page. Web page? How old am I? Website are good places to go. More info and tickets are available now at Ticketek. As Yvonne mentioned, there are a mixture of, like, 7:30 p.m. shows, some early shows and some matinees. Mm-hmm. So, you know, something for everyone there.
Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was just about to say that.
But you do, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you guys did this for The Hunchback of Notre Dame, but have you got a signed performance?
Yes. Oh, yes.
So New Zealand Sign Language.
Natasha and Bernadette Catalia are coming back in again, and they've been attending rehearsals and just figuring some things out, because there's some names like Bomb Ballerina and Skimbleshanks and things.
Yeah.
So they're just working out their signs for it. And that is the final matinee at 2 p.m. on the 9th of August.
Great. Get amongst it. Do you have a favourite cat in Cats? It's just
I can't say that because they'll all be listening to us at the moment.
Oh,
so,
fair.
Yeah.
No, it's just because an old colleague...
But if you're listening, it's you. Yes, you. You.
An old colleague of mine, their, like, dream role was Skimbleshanks, the railway cat.
Yeah.
They're not in this production, but when Hamilton Operatic Society announced that they were doing Cats, I sent it to them. I'm like, you should go for it. And I think it was like a joke because they're like, I'm never going to do Cats. But, like, they're like, this is what I would do.
Yeah. It's such a fun character. And we've got Jack Turner.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Friend of the show.
Yes.
Pretty sure half the cast has probably been on That's the Ticket. And if you're listening and you haven't, come have a chat.
Yeah, so she doesn't have to have me back again.
Oh, come on now. I only do it once every, like, 4 months. That's, you know, we can manage that. But I guess, like, going back to your involvement in the show, so when you worked on it in 2008, were you doing similar mahi to what you're doing this time around?
No, I was very fancy last time. I was the co-executive producer.
Okay.
So at the top of the pecking order, kind of pulling it all together, I had no idea what I was doing, but it seemed to work.
Yeah.
And we had 17 performances at Founders.
Yep.
And, over 17,000 people came to see the show.
Okay, no pressure.
No, none. And I'll talk about it a little bit later on about how we did the marketing for that one compared to how I'm doing the marketing for this one.
Yeah, is it weird coming back? Like, is it like visiting an old friend, or does it feel like a competition with yourself now?
revisiting an old friend, I think. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. And I guess it's probably, if I think about now to 2008, it's probably a very different landscape.
Yeah, well, I didn't even have Facebook. There was no such thing as social media. I don't even think I had, no, there were not even iPhones.
Nah.
Yeah.
Or not in New Zealand. I feel like iPhones came out in like 2008. I don't know. If you know, call, don't call. but, okay. And so I guess with Cats right now, have you been, I mean, you've already talked about how you've been going to rehearsals and stuff. Have you been quite heavily involved from that side of things?
No, not as much, simply because I haven't had the time.
Yeah.
Because the marketing of this has been a very big beast, and you know, you sort of squeeze it around your real life and study and all this other stuff I've got going on. So
I mean, you keep busy because it's like you're doing this, but it's like, you know, I follow right on for the art, and like reviews have still been coming out, so I'm like, okay, she's finding time.
Yep.
And even popping over to Sydney, and Cats wasn't the only show you saw over there, right?
No, not at all.
We can get into that.
Okay.
We can. Or I can play a song. It's up to you. I'll play a song. And actually, maybe I'll play something from Cats. Because Yvonne actually sent through a song to play. A song request.
Because I always choose bangers from the 80s.
You do.
And this is a banger from the 80s.
It is. It's Memory, but sung by Elaine Page.
Yes.
And because, as I've said, a lot of people have played Grisabella, so you can take your pick. Because I am quite partial to a Patti LuPone.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to be shady on Nicole Scherzinger. But because she's incredible in Sunset Boulevard, I'm like, okay, I'll give your Cats a minute. But, I mean, Elaine Page, was she the OG?
Yeah, she's the OG.
Like, she was the first. So she's probably the one that was on my our ancient Cats tape. Probably would have been her.
Yeah, she set the benchmark.
Okay. All right. Well, enjoy this, guys, and Yvonne's going to try not to weep.
Dance of of smoky days, the stale cold smell of morning. A street lamp dies, another night is over, another day is dawning. Touch me, it's so easy to leave me all alone with the memory of my death in the sun.
That was Memory by Elaine Page from Cats. If you liked that, you will love Cats. We don't have Elaine Page, but we've got Julia Booth, apparently.
Who's one better. Yeah.
And quite a few local performers. It's quite a big cast, this one, eh?
It's 32 in the cast,
yep.
10 backing vocalists, 20 in the band, and a crew of about, if you include front of house, probably 50. So each night there's going to be over 100 people bringing the show.
Yeah, it takes a village, eh?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's cool that doing a show like this, like cast of 32, like that's really cool because it gives that many people the opportunity to, like, go be on stage.
That's right. And I don't know if you've seen, particularly on Facebook, I've been rolling out posts like Meet the Team.
Yeah.
And the theme continually through all of those, I ask the question, you know, what's been the highlight of rehearsal so far?
Mm.
And they're all saying like the step up in performance values and learning Sonia's choreography and just the difference between what they've come from and then working at Hamilton Operatic with David and Sonia and Nick and Cassidy.
Yeah. And because it's, Cats as a show, it's quite an ensemble piece.
Yeah, it is.
And so that, again, is cool, I imagine, as a cast, because it's kind of that we're all in this together. And it's good that you name-dropped creative teams. So David Sidwell directing, Dr. Nick Bray, MD, Sonia and Cassidy McGurr-Garrett, yes, teaming up on choreo for that one?
Yes, that's right.
Awesome.
Because Sonia's travelling overseas at the moment with Madagascar.
Okay,
and
cool.
And so Cassidy's sort of picked up the reins.
Nice, relatable content.
Yeah.
We all get into the theatre because our mums are already there. No, love you, Mum. But I guess circling back, before we broke for that song, we were talking about how you recently saw Cats in Sydney.
Yeah.
So
how did that come about?
Yeah.
Right. So I was at Waikato Dio reviewing their school show Prom.
Yep.
Which was awesome. I really loved it.
Yep.
And sitting behind me was Heather Connolly.
Yep.
Friend of the show?
Maybe. I can't remember.
Oh, you've got to have Heather in some time. Anyway,
yeah,
she's done a lot of theatre. And we were just chatting and everything. And I said, oh, what are you up to? And what are the kids up to? And she said, oh, Dylan, her son, who's a really awesome guitarist, he's playing in Cats, but he's never seen the show. So we're taking him over to Sydney for Matariki weekend. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, actually, Annie is on at the same time. And we were just sort of laughing. And then I just jokingly said, oh, I should come over to Sydney during the same weekend and see the shows. And so by the end of Prom, I'd pretty much booked my tickets and decided we'd see Annie on Saturday night. Annie on Friday night. I went to Cats on Saturday night. They actually ended up going on the Sunday.
Yep.
And then, flew in to Sydney and it was awesome and everything. Annie, oh my goodness. The Annie was amazing.
Yeah.
It was Anthony Warlow's Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah.
The set was the most spectacular thing I have ever seen in my life.
Really?
Yeah. It blew me away. It was so beautiful and like just the colourway and the build. It was really clever. The orphans were amazing. It was great. And that was at the Capitol up in Haymarket. So that was a Friday night. Then Saturday afternoon, I was sort of pottering around town and I was sitting on the steps of the Opera House. And then I remembered that show, the play that...
Oh, the play that goes wrong. Yeah.
It was on and I was there at 1 o'clock and I realised there was going to be a matinee performance at 2. And I was like, oh my goodness, I should just actually go in and see if I can get a ticket. So I walked into the box office at the Opera House and they only had standing tickets available.
Yeah. Did you get one?
Yeah. It was like $50 and I was thinking, well, I hadn't been to a show at the Opera House for years. And then I knew it was going to be really, really funny. I thought, what else am I going to do in Sydney if I don't go and see this? And I knew that Jonathan Martin, who had played Riff Raff for us in Rocky a few years ago, he was in it. And so I thought, oh, no, I'll just splash out. And I was like, in the olden days, they used to always stand, you know, the globe and things. I can do it. And I just had this funny feeling I was going to get a seat.
Yeah.
So sure enough, so I walked in and right at the very back, it's sort of almost a little bit lower than my chin, so you could almost, like, I could have rested my chin on it.
Yeah.
And I stood right to the far end, like stage left, and beside me there were a couple of people in wheelchairs and there was a man in one and next to him was his wife and she got sick during the performance.
Yeah.
And they left at half time. And so the usher looked over at me and was like, you can sit down there. But the show was so funny that my stomach still hurt 3 hours later from laughing.
Yeah.
I died laughing. It was so incredibly well done and like such a clever little set with all sorts of tricks and things. And I'd laughed so much in the first half, I'd like forgotten that I was even standing up.
Yeah. So you do forget though, because I think back when the pop-up globe was coming through Tamaki Makaurau, I went and did a standing, groundling ticket, and it was all good. Yeah. I mean, I was like 17, but like it was all good. Oh no, actually, I think I might have been 20, sorry. Yep. But like, yeah, it was all good.
Yeah, and it's sort of part of the fun of it to say that you've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then I raced back to my hotel and I think I watched the Warriors game on TV or something.
Up the Waz.
Yep, the Waz. Oh, here we go, talking about sport again.
I know.
And then, went and saw Cats at the Theatre Royal in Sydney.
And how was it?
It was pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah, pretty good. They had recreated the original touring set, so that's like set in a junkyard, so it kind of looks like just a rubbish dump, really.
Yeah.
Their choreography, it was incredible. There was not one whisker out of place, not one pour, not one anything. They completely moved as one. They were extraordinary. And you could tell that they had really cast that show on danceability.
Yeah.
They'd prioritised that over singing. The Munker Strap was the best character, hands down. He was great.
Okay, so she does have a favourite cat.
I did in that show.
That show.
Yeah.
No, and I mean, I guess that's another point is Cats, it really is cool again because it's like a dancer's show.
Yeah.
Because I feel like musical theatre, no shade, but like there's so many people who love doing it and love dance, but it's always like non-singing dancer.
Yeah.
Whereas Cats, I feel like it actually is there for the triple threat.
Oh, yeah, it does.
And I think I've been seeing in a lot of your, like, meet the team, meet the cast pieces that Hamilton Operatic Society have been putting out on socials, a lot of people talking about the choreo. And, I think it's just a really good opportunity for the dancers in this town to, like, sink their teeth or their paws or their claws into this one.
Claws,
into the cat pun of your choosing. I mean, I don't know if you're in the position to tell me about the set for this one.
No, I'm not.
I know. Isn't that exciting? I can't say anything.
It's a secret. Last time we used the set from Melbourne, which was a 5,000 kilo monstrosity.
Yep.
That was at the Founders Theatre and it was like a rooftop scene. So it was all sort of like skylights and chimneys and dormer windows and things. And that set eventually just got demolished. It was used and broken down and made up so many times it fell apart at the seams. So Once again, we've brought back as our production designer, John Harding.
Yep.
And he's building something from scratch.
Yes.
And the theme has not been revealed, and I don't know if it will be before we even open. And the only thing I can say is there's a whole lot of Easter eggs for people who really know their theatre. When they come and see it, they'll just be like, oh, right. Okay, I know where that's come from. So that's about as much as I can say. It's going to be cool. And I was just down at the theatre before and John was painting and he's so clever. David Sewell and I were sitting there and we were just like, if we'd painted it, it would have looked really stink. But John just kind of goes dab, dab with a paintbrush and turns some flat piece of like jib into this amazing piece of art.
Yeah. No, I mean, we love to see it. And I do love to always manage to talk about something that's very visual, like set on a very non-visual medium of radio. But I'm going to take a break now because I've got to get Rick's pick in, obviously.
Yes, hi, Uncle Rick.
Kia ora, Uncle Rick. So if you're listening and you're like, what are Hannah and Yvonne on about? Basically, I have an Uncle Rick and he's a great listener of radio, great listener of music. And when I started That's the Ticket 231 episodes ago, Yvonne was actually my first guest. We always need to remember that Yvonne was the first person I ever had on That's the Ticket. And yeah, Uncle Rick gave me a list of songs that he likes and he's like, every week you can pick a song off the list and it'll be called Rick's Pick. And every week we do, and I love it because it means I don't have to pick my own music and it's been quite educational. And now in the show's old age, I've added this kind of caveat where I pick a song or an artist that relates to like who I'm talking to or what we're talking about. And so today I've gone for a song called Stray Cat Strut by the Stray Cat.
This is such a cool song. Oh, my goodness.
I'm glad I nailed it. But, okay, Uncle Rick, job done. Yvonne's stoked. This one's for you, mate.
With my tail in the air. Thank you. I got cat style.
Well, hey, great pick this week, Uncle Rick. That was Stray Cat Strut by the Stray Cat.
That's the one.
Very fitting, because if you're just joining us, I've been talking to friend of the show, Yvonne from Right On for the Arts, but also Hamilton Operatic Society, about their upcoming production of Cats, the hit musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber, based off the poetry of T.S. Eliot. Boom, got to get it in there. But at the top of the show, Yvonne, we were talking about your involvement in the show. And so this time around, I'm just going to lump it into marketing. I know that you're doing more than that, and we've touched on that, but for ease of time, Yvonne's doing all the marketing, comms things, a lot of program editing, copywriting, just a lot of stuff. And last time you did the show in 2008, you were like executive producer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Similar energy.
Yeah, and I did the marketing last time as well, but I just want to interject there and say that I'm not a one-man band. I have got Ray Powell.
Oh, friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show. Ray is helping me with it all, and King Street Marketing have had a bit of input as well, just sort of steering us in the right direction.
Cool.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how's the campaign going?
It's going great guns. It's really good. Like, we initially, it's always the way you start off with an idea, but if you don't have images or something to capture people's attention, it's a bit difficult. So as early as I possibly could, I asked for a photo shoot where we could get both KM and Letitia into full costume and makeup. Obviously, the costumes had to be created so that we had something else to add to our arsenal and start creating some really cool digital, like, collateral. And
I mean, it's literally everywhere. And I mean, I'm going to see how many things I can name, and you can tell me if I'm right.
Let's go.
It feels like a test.
Yeah, right. Now, Miss Mooney, how many do you have?
I have seen some, like, physical signage, like core flutes about the place.
Yep.
I have seen some bus backs.
Yes.
Okay. Billboards.
Digital billboards.
Digital billboards. Yeah. Thank you. Have you got any banners?
No.
Okay. There's still time. No. radio, this counts.
Yes, this counts. Totally counts.
And then we've touched on your social media. So, like, nice little meaty meta campaign.
Yes, yep.
What else is there? I mean, that's probably all the things that have touched hand. Oh, actually, you guys had a write-up in the Waikato Times over the weekend, right?
Yes, we did. Thank you to Mike for that one. Great little article that he put together.
Yeah, and that was cool because it was a nice, like, behind-the-scenes look.
Yeah.
Like, because there was, quotes from cast and stuff and rehearsal photos, which is always kind of exciting to kind of see it before it's a thing.
Yeah.
And then, oh, gosh. Actually, when I was reading that article, you had like a really, and this is real nerdy marketing. It's like when you're scrolling through and the ad pops up and you have to scroll through the ad to keep reading.
Yeah.
You had one of those.
Yeah, it's called it's on Stuff. It's called an interscroller.
Very
so
cool.
You'll be reading through a piece and then the ad comes up, and normally, you know, you just swipe up your screen and it will go away and you keep reading the article. It's actually in a series of three. And the way that we've set it up is that it's a, one of them's Letitia, it's sort of her from a distance, is the white cat a little bit closer and then closer again. So you get three images of her that you have to kind of scroll through. But it's not like yucky, annoying scrolling. It's like really cool because it's changing up each time.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. And I guess it's because, like, by day when I'm not doing That's the Ticket, I work in marketing. And so I always kind of notice those kind of things. It's like one of my colleagues was talking about, like, you know, the city street pole flags. And they're like, does anyone even notice those? And
I love those.
Yeah, and I'm like, I always look. And it's the same with bus backs. I always look because even if I haven't booked the advertising, I want to see who has.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess, you know, we touched on this a little bit at the top of the show, but obviously you've got a multi kind of faceted campaign running at the moment. 2008 would have looked very different, right? Because, as you said, like, social media wasn't where it was. Digital billboards were not a thing. I mean, you guys probably would have just been like print, right?
Yeah.
Print and posters.
Yep, print. So newspaper and posters and leaflets. And I think we had a banner on the front of the Founders Theatre.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would have been it. And
word of mouth.
Yeah, word of mouth. And that's another thing that always happens in Hamilton as well. It's so good. You know, the show gets on the road and people start talking about it. And
I mean, it also helps that you have quite a sizable cast as well. Because, like, with 32 people, if they tell 5 people that a number, you can do the maths at home. As soon as I started, like, hand-splaining that, I'm like, I can't see this through. I can't do maths and I can't do maps. I can talk about cats, but that's, yeah.
Yeah, so no, there was no social media. And last time, Waikato Times and Hamilton Press were exceptionally good to us. Mm. I ran a little colouring in competition in the Hamilton Press, and it was just one of the cast members had done up a cartoon cat. And we thought we'd get a few entries. We got thousands of entries.
Thousands.
It went bananas. Absolutely crazy.
How did you pick a winner?
In the end, I think I handed that back over to, might have been SPCA.
Okay.
And I've still got, it's not in the email account that I use very regularly, but I've still got all the emails from 2008. Oh. So when Hamot said, oh yeah, we're going to do Cat Skin, I was like, I wonder if I've got all those emails. And I'm just reading through everything, just going, oh my goodness, just cringing at my ideas and what we had to go through to get the show on the road.
Yeah.
Because it's such a different beast.
I mean, has it been quite like fulfilling to take the learnings that you got last time and apply them? I guess, again, because the landscape's changed, probably what you learned last time is probably, you know, base level now, you know.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And I guess, like, last time it was sort of almost a very sweet and innocent campaign because there wasn't much that we could do. Yeah. And this time I decided to really lean into humour.
Yeah.
So you being a pun lover, you've probably noticed there's been a lot of puns, but also I've leaned into nostalgia as well.
Yeah. Well, I think it is a hard show to kind of, it's a hard one to explain.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, but then you don't want it to feel like if you don't know about this, you're not welcome, because that's not the case at all. Like, let this be your first experience of the show or of musical theatre. It's a great introduction.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of balancing that. And I mean, I'm biased though, because like this is your 12th time on the show. Obviously, I'm a fan of your work.
Oh, thank you. I'm blushing.
But just really quick, because time is getting away on us. Obviously, Cats is kind of the main project at the Mo. Mm. Do you have anything else lined up that you want to talk about?
Well, I have been, I don't know if I mentioned it last time, but I've been studying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I smashed it last semester. I did 3 papers and I came out with an A and 2 A pluses.
Oh, we're being very honest on that certificate today.
But I'm only doing 1 paper this next semester. Mm. So that took up a lot of time and that actually took away from writing time.
Yeah.
I know we mentioned it last time, I've moved back to Hamilton East and I'm now living on a site that is, it's part of my historical fiction novel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so okay. I'm sort of like in the thick of where I've set this novel.
All right, okay. Well,
watch the space.
And you have to come back.
when
the book's done.
That's right, I will.
But I might just quickly plug upcoming events. Feel free to interject if anything else comes up. But here are some of the cool creative happenings coming up in Kirikiriroa, Hamilton, in the not-so-distant future. So Cats, the musical, is running at Clarence Street Theatre from the 26th of July to the 9th of August with 7:30pm shows and a couple of 6:30pm shows and, as Amon mentioned, 4 2pm matinees thrown in there too. More info on tickets can be found right now at Ticketek. The Just Kidding stand-up comedy night is back at Patrons on the 24th of July. More info and tickets at Eventfinder. And then over at the Meteor, they have the Deck the Heels Glamilton Christmas Drag Show in on the 9th of August. More info and tickets can be found at themeteor.co.nz. And then Rivoli Theatre has Hamilton Musical Theatres in the Heights in on from the 9th to the 23rd of August. More info and tickets at iTicket. Boom. As I always like to say, this is not the definitive guide to all the creative stuff happening in Hamilton, because, like, that could be the whole hour and then I wouldn't need a Vaughn. But I do have a question for you, Vaughn.
Mm.
So, you know, at the top of the show how you were unsure if you're going to spill some tea? Where'd we land on that?
Yeah, no, there'll be no tea spilt. But I was thinking about it and no. Just keep an eye on Facebook. It's something I'm going to roll out probably this weekend. You've probably seen I've been doing Monday Night Memories with the quirky stories from 2008 season.
Yep.
Friday Night Felines. I've also been doing a bit of cat math.
Yep.
And
found that very relatable because I can't do math.
And so this next little thing that I'm going to introduce, I think kids will really like it.
Okay.
And grandmas, and that's part of cat math to some extent, and I think I'll go live with that on social this weekend.
Okay, that was almost the tea.
Almost. You're you so didn't close. Squeeze it out of me this time. Normally you get me to tell secrets.
Oh, well, you know. I mean, I do want to allude just to kind of close out the show, and I saw it on socials, and I'm not going to name and shame, but you were telling a story from 2008 about the white cat suit that went through the wash and came out grey.
Oh, yeah.
And that story was aired on That's the Ticket for, I think it was my 250th episode, because I had you and I had the person.
Anonymous,
who did that show and was yep. the person who told that story.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I know. And so if you want to go back and listen to That's the Ticket, and you can find the source of that. But it's a really good origin story.
Yeah, it is. It's part of the folklore and the history. And
of someone who is like an absolute legend, who grew to be an absolute costuming legend in this town. And I guess moral of the story is always cold wash.
And wash your whites separately.
Yeah. Oh, crikey. But no, we always got to tie it back to That's the Ticket. And I was so glad I had the opportunity to do that. But thanks for coming on and having a yarn. I feel like we managed to squeeze quite a bit in. Was there anything we missed out?
I feel like we missed out everything. I've only just warmed up.
Oh, okay, mate. Well, I'll see you in 4 months. We can do a post-show catch-up.
Oh, yes, a post-show debrief.
Yeah,
and I can tell you what I would have done differently with marketing or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
I'll review the program.
Oh, no, don't.
Imagine if I find a spelling mistake of one. What are you going to do?
Oh, no.
Has that ever happened?
Maybe, I can't say, but if you were to say something to me about it, you may never see me here again.
Okay. I feel like if I saw a spelling error, I wouldn't have the heart to tell you.
Oh, thank you.
I couldn't do it. Yeah. I mean, I work in marketing. We've all been there.
Yeah, let's just not put that into the universe.
Instead, let's put some more Andrew Lloyd Webber into the universe.
Yes.
I'm going to close with a song of my choosing, which is Don't Cry For Me, Argentina.
Oh.
And I don't know if Evita's one of your faves, but here's the thing, is it's currently like blowing up on the West End.
Yeah.
With Rachel Zegler starring as Ava Perón, and they've just released her version of Don't Cry For Me, Argentina.
Is that what you're playing now?
I'm about to play it.
Wow, cool.
I've converted Yvonne, but just imagine me playing this at my house and raising my arms, because I have been doing that ever since it came out, which was last Friday. But break all the legs for cats, and to my lovely listeners, you can bet I'll be back with a fresh episode of That's the Ticket in the not-so-distant future. But until then, enjoy this absolute banger from Evita.
It's easy, you'll think it's strange when I try to explain how I feel, that I still need your love after all that I've done. You won't believe me. All you will see is a girl you once knew, although she's dressed up to the nines at sixes and sevens with you. my mad existence. I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance. And as for fortune, it seemed to the world they were all I desired. They are illusions. They're not the solutions they promised to be. The answer was here all the time. I love you.
this Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.